T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's 1 o'clock, and this is Rick and John, rolling through another show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So excited to have an NBA legend, and people throw that word around. It really applies with the guy we have right now. A guy famous for his handles, a guy famous for his competitiveness. I'm a stat guy. This guy was famous for dropping 2010 on your face every single night. Tim Hardaway Sr., hanging out with your boys Rick and John here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Timmy Skills, what's going on?
Nothing, man. Nothing much. In between jobs, trying to figure it out. And, that's just it.
When people asked you about your game back in the day, you put a Z at the end of that word, didn't you?
No.
What'd you tell you? You said, I got skills.
Yeah, I got skills. I had a lot of skills. You know, I was the killer crossover king. Mm. Never carried the basketball. Just came down, did my what I was supposed to do, and got to the basket and made it happen. So, you know, just a lot of fun. And a lot of people didn't understand that how I grew up. I grew up in, you know, just playing basketball, watching Isaiah. Isaiah Thomas was my idol. And I used to go watch him play when I was a freshman or eighth grader at the amphitheater, back at the amphitheater in Chicago. And, it was just a blessing in disguise just to watch him play. And I just patterned my career after him.
Tim, I always talk about, like, different areas of the country, they play basketball differently. New York, it's the over dribble. You know, certain areas you can shoot. Chicago, it's rough. It's rugged. It's hard-nosed basketball. How did you come up with that crossover on the streets of Chicago?
Sport every day and had to really figure out how to play this game of basketball, because you had people telling you that I'm too short. I wouldn't be able to shoot over people. I wasn't able to get to the rim and make a shot over somebody or pass it out to a wide-open person in traffic. Something that I just had to learn. And my father always instilled something in me. He said, Tim, you know, everybody needs to play this game and play it the right way. But it's not one position out there that you can't play. You can play center. You can play forward. You can play guard. You can play shooting guard. You can play all different positions on offense and defense. But just go out there and play. And so you can have all the aspects of the game in your hand. And that's what I did. I didn't concentrate on one thing. If I had to stick a big man, I stuck a big man. If I had to rebound and block a big man out, I wasn't scared to block a big man out. If I had to, you know, guard a guard, I had to guard a guard. If I had to, shoot over somebody, I had to shoot over somebody. So it's a lot of things that, as a small person, I had to overcome, and I had to have a lot of confidence in doing it. And my dad, as a playground legend, help me out in doing
it. I love it. I love that you said that you idolized Isaiah Thomas, patterned your career after him, and you had a lot of that Isaiah competitiveness in you, a lot of that dog in you, and a lot of those 2010 games in you. The guy we have here, 5-time All-Star, 3 of them with GSW back in the day, Run TMC, of course. Just an exceptional career, over 15,000 points, 17.7 PPG, 8.2 assists for his entire career. And that includes, games later in your career when you didn't play as many minutes, and the averages still really hold up. Crazy stuff. So Golden State now has won 3 out of 4, Tim Hardaway Sr.
Happy for him.
And you and Mitch Richmond and Chris Mullin and all the guys, and then there was that sort of next wave with the Steven Jacksons and stuff like that, they upset Dallas. Like, do you guys feel a part of that a little bit? Like I was there in the lean years and tried to get this thing off the ground, and now they've won 3 of 4. Did you feel a little bit a part of that?
Yes, we all felt a part of that. I'm happy that they won 3 out of 4. I'm happy for the city, really, the Bay Area. They really needed that. The fans are fabulous. The fans are great out there. They'll tell you if you're not playing well, they'll boo you if you're not giving your 100%. They've been fans for a long, long, long time. And I'm kind of upset that they're leaving the Bay Area and going to San Francisco, because at Oracle Arena, that's where it needs to be. And this is just me. I think it needs to stay there for the Bay Area and the fans there in Oakland, because I think without the Oakland fans, the Golden State Warriors wouldn't be who they are today. And I thank them for that, because they was always on us and they was always great fans. They welcome you with open arms, and they deserve everything that they get now, because it took them a long time since Al Addles in those days, Rick Barry in those days, to win. So I'm very happy for them. But, you know, hey, it started out with us. Don Nelson, small ball. We're talking about point forward and Tom Tolbert, point center and Jim Peterson. You know, point forward with Mario Elie and Vincent Askew. Chris Mullin, and you know, it started, you know, small ball with us, and we had a lot of fun with it. You know, we used to call it control chaos. If they didn't know what we was doing, because we didn't, at times we didn't know what we was doing. We just come down, just play basketball. Nelly would say motion. That means just motion, just pass and cut. Set a back screen. If you see somebody open, give it to him for a layup. If he don't have a layup, pass it out for an open three or open two. It was just basketball, and a lot of people didn't know how to deal with us with that sort of type of basketball. And we used to have, if you was a center, we used to take you out the equation, because back then it was really zone defense. You couldn't play zone.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to have a big man up, and as Tom Tolbert, if the guy would come down and we penetrate, he comes down and help. We throw it out to Tom Tolbert for a three. They was like, well, what are we going to do, coach? Yeah, what y'all going to do? You know, what you going to do now? So we started it first, and they giving all the accolades to D'Antoni, but it started with Nelly basketball, and, you know, and we had a lot of fun doing it, just a lot of fun doing it. And basketball today is fun when you see five guys out there that is playing team basketball, moving that basketball around, and averaging 30 assists a game. Mm-hmm. You know, when you average 30 assists a game as a team, you're supposed to win. And that's the way it is.
Tim Hardaway Sr. in studio with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Do you ever feel that if you had that team with Mitch Richmond and Chris Mullin, and you guys played in today's NBA, you would have been an NBA champion?
I would think that when we played Chris, Mitch, and Tim back then, we didn't have the time to put together what we could have done.
Mm-hmm.
Don Nelson traded Mitch Richmond too early. We only played, a year and a half together? And Don Nelson traded Mitch too early, and we wasn't able to finish out what we was trying to do. And that was the beginning to the end. You know, I'm not taking nothing away from Billy Owens or whoever else came to the team, but at that particular time, we thought that we was going to be together at least 5 years and to do something in those 5 years. And who knows? We probably could have done something. But that was the beginning to the end, and that kind of hurt us. And you know, that still hurt us to this day that we weren't able to play 5 years together. But, you know, at that particular time, nobody could handle us. At that particular time, we was really running. We knew each other, how we wanted to play. He had us three on one side of the court, and we just passed the ball and played 3-on-3 basketball just on one side of the court, and understood how to manipulate the defense and make things work for us.
Tim Hardaway Sr. hanging out with Rick and John here. You mentioned you are between jobs. Your last job, you just told me 4 years, was Stan Van Gundy,
yes,
the head coach and the GM of the Detroit Pistons, and you were his assistant coach. Used to always see you, you know, helping out all of them, big, smalls, and I'm like, good for Tim Hardaway Sr., man, you know, still in the game, still gigging. So now that Stan Van is out, They've said goodbye to the whole coaching staff, right?
Yes.
And so now you said you're between jobs. What's next for Tim Hardaway Sr.?
Well, you know, I'm going to get into broadcasting. You know, I want to get into broadcast and do some radio, do some TV, brush up. That's why I'm here, just talking to people and being on radio, talking to you all, and just brushing up on my skills.
Love it.
And, you know, and I think I have a lot to give back to the game. I could talk to the people, make people understand what's going on the court, and just give my opinion on today's basketball and how it revolves today and how it revolved last year. I mean, in years past. So, you know, I got a lot to give. I love basketball. I'm passionate about basketball. My son is playing basketball, which I love, and I'm excited for him each and every day. And people ask me, when you watch him play, are you nervous? Yes. I'm nervous when I watch him play because I want him to excel each and every night.
Those checks are still coming, though, every other Friday.
Those big checks are still coming. Well, you know, it's not about the checks. You know, I mean, in today's, I'm happy that people are getting paid, the numbers that they're getting paid. But you still want to excel. You still want to win. You still want to be out there and help your team win. And he wants to help the Knicks get into the playoffs first of all, and take it to that next level.
We had him here, and Tim Jr. was awesome. He was always great with us every time he came on the air here. So you raised a great kid, obviously. Talk about today's NBA. There are fans, not Rick or I, because you know what? You're a free agent. You go wherever you want. There are fans right now that get upset that Golden State had drafted Steph and Clay and obviously drafted Draymond, and then KD comes as a free agent. And now all of a sudden Boogie Cousins comes as a free agent on a small deal to play, coming off an Achilles. Do you like that team put together that way? Is that just the economics of today's NBA?
That's just the economics of today's NBA. You know, you got to credit Oscar Robertson. Without Oscar Robertson creating free agency, this wouldn't even revolve and wouldn't even happen. So we got to credit him. Second thing is, didn't the Boston Celtics do the same thing with their first round picks, Tatum, Brown, and then you get a free agency or you trade for Kyrie Irving, yep. And then you get Hayward in a free agency, you know. That's basically the same thing. And, you know, getting Boogie, I still say this is me. Okay, Boogie is still hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take him a whole year to get to where he's back to Boogie. When that happens, it's going to be playoffs.
Right.
All right? He might have one month, to get back in shape, mm-hmm. get back in basketball condition, getting back to basketball timing. By that time, other guys, the other teams, they flying, they running, they in their offense. Boogie has to catch up. So I don't see him revolving around and being the way he was before he got hurt, mm-hmm. at that particular time in the season. And at that particular time, going into the playoffs, he might help him one or two games, but, you know, he got to stick somebody. He got to switch. He got to probably switch out on a guard. You know, his mobility is not going to be there right off the bat. His timing is not going to be there right off the bat. So, you know, people, they saying that was a good pickup. We'll see. I don't see it just yet. If he was healthy, no question, you know, but he's coming back. I really don't see it, but he's going to be 100% at some time and point in his career. Again, he's going to be 100%. He's going to get back to the Boogie that he was, but I don't see it coming up this next year.
Tim Hardaway Sr. joining us. Let's talk Trae Young. I was just out in Vegas, and a lot of people throwing a straight hate party for Trae Young. No, they are, and it's ridiculous. You know, he didn't play well in Utah, killed it in Vegas. And I talk with people, Timmy, and it's like a lot of people don't really have a reason. They just don't like him. So talk to me about that criticism on Trae Young. Do you like Trae Young?
I like Trae Young. The criticism that he's getting is because the media – in college, gave him all this hype. just like Alonzo Ball. The media gave him all this hype, okay? Now he has a bullseye on his back, and he has to come in, and he has to prove to everyone that he can do certain things. Me personally, I don't think he has to prove anything to nobody. He proved it to Atlanta Hawks before he got drafted. That's why they drafted him. Okay? Now you just got to go out there and play basketball. Yeah, to me, don't concentrate on the 50-footers. Mm-hmm. Don't concentrate on the 30-footers. Don't concentrate on the three ball all the time. Just play basketball. Shoot the three ball when you open. Play basketball. Pass the ball. Run the offense. When you come off screen and roll, if you open, take it. If you don't, take it to the hole. Shoot your little floater. Pass it. But, I mean, I think he is getting into the mold of, I got to make a three. I got to make a three. I got to make a three. I think he's a good ball player. And he showed so not – let's just take the three-pointer away. And these summer league games, him penetrating, finding people,
yep.
Running the offense, doing what he's supposed to do out there on the basketball court for his team and making plays, I still think he got to brush up on his defense, you know. And another thing, we also got to understand, he's still a kid. His body has not matured yet. He's only, what, 19 years yep. old? I mean, his body has not matured yet. He played, you know, some basketball in college, you know, 30 games or whatever. But his body hasn't matured yet. But when his body is mature and when he's able to start knocking those threes down consistently, they're going to see why they picked him. And, you know, it's always a hater aid party because of what he did in college and a lot of people hating him. I mean, that's the way this business is. That's the way social media is. Get a kid a chance. He's here for a reason. Okay, he can play basketball.
One of my all-time favorite post-game quotes was authored up by you, Tim, when you referred to former and longtime and legendary NBA referee Dick Bavetta as Nick Bavetta. I just started howling, man, and that wasn't even the age of social media and stuff, but I'd laugh to this day when I think about you calling Dick Bavetta Nick Bavetta. Tell us that story right there.
And Dick Bavetta is a Hall of Famer, too.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so now...
And by the way, you should be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, thank you very
much. I wanted
to
make that point. I'm a resume tracker. I do hosting for the Hall of Fame. Trust me, I have announced you as a finalist many times, my friend.
Right, right.
You should be in, but continue on with your story.
Thank you. Well, of course, we was upset when we lost to the Knicks. And we should have won the game. And, you know, it was just a bad loss on our part. We was number one seed. The Knicks was the eighth seed. And very upset through the whole, you know, playoff situation. And my emotions got to me, and I said something that I should not have said, and I went to Dick Bavetta and apologized to him and said, you
when?
Know,
how long did that take?
Oh, that took next time I saw him.
Really?
That, yeah, that was. I guess it was.
Wow, what a cool dude! So you didn't hold a grudge and petty and all that.
No.
I thought you apologized like 2 days ago, maybe.
No, it took a long time. How much did David Stern fine you for saying that?
$70,000.
Whoa!
Yeah.
That's a big fine, dude.
Yeah,
that's a big fine today.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
whoa, that's a big fine.
I tell you this, I deserved it because of my actions and what I said and how I said it, and I just deserved it, and I took it like, you know, you're supposed to take it, and I moved on. But when I saw him again, I said, "Hey, Dick, you know, I'm sorry, you know, my emotions just took over me and everything." And he said, "Hey, Timmy, that's all right. I understand. I'm not going to hold a grudge against you or anything like that. I still love you." And we moved on.
That series, I broke my coffee table because Clarence Weatherspoon taking the last shot. And, oh, I punched through the table so hard.
Yeah.
And the girl I was dating at that time, that was kind of the beginning of the end of that relationship. How does Clarence Weatherspoon end up shooting the last shot?
Correct. You know, I threw the ball to Mash. I thought was wide open for the jump shot, And he said that Weatherspoon had a better look at it, and he threw it to Weatherspoon, and Weatherspoon just got it blocked, you know. So, you can't really say what somebody else was thinking. He said what he said, and he passed it to Clarence Weatherspoon, and he thought he had a better shot, and that's the way it is. And you know, but hey, you live and you learn, and you got to take advantage of the situation that presented itself, and we didn't.
So Tim Hardaway Sr. getting his broadcasting career going here. We're certainly helping you in that endeavor. Now, a couple of years ago, I'm calling games for NBA TV down in Orlando. I'm hanging out at Grand Bohemian. You were there. Patrick Ewing was there. And we struck up a little conversation about rivalries from days gone by. And it was friendly.
Uh-huh.
But spicy and edgy at the same time between you and the big fella, Patrick Ewing. Talk about that conversation, how you are with Pat these days, and just that whole Knicks-Heat rivalry.
Well, first of all, happy for Pat at the University of Georgetown, head coaching job. He should be a head coaching job with an NBA, no question about that. He's qualified. He should have got interviews, and he should be one of the head coaches in the NBA right today. But happy with him at Georgetown. I think he's going to get them back on the map and have them back as one of the teams to beat in college basketball. But we struck it up, and you know, we, after you get going, you start saying like, hey, you know, y'all was good, but we was better, and then no, y'all was good, and we was better, and then it goes back and forth, and then it gets back into where you know, we had Charlie Ward on you. We had Chris Childs on you. And then I say, well, yeah, you had him on me, but, you know, this what happened. Then we say, yeah, but, you know, we had Zoe on you, and he did you like this one game. And then he say, well, yeah, but – and then end up, well, y'all just lost a series. I said, you know, and then it went to like, well, you know, what about that time that the fight happened, you know, and y'all was up 3-1 and y'all lost. Well, we should have won, but you told on us. And, you know, you know, you told on us. You was telling the people that was coming off the bench. Well, I said, but that's the rule, Pat. That was the rule. You know, nobody come off the bench. Your whole bench came off and tried to fight us. All right? Nobody on our – well, a couple of guys came off our bench. but, you know, I mean, that's the way it was. So I had to tell because I'm trying to win. You know, I wanted the NBA to see exactly what I saw. So, but, no, it was friendly conversation. You was right. It was very friendly. But, you know, it's fun to have those conversations with guys that from opposing team and your buddy in the NBA. And, you know, and the last thing he pointed out was he blocked my shot. Mm. You remember that?
I do.
Yeah. I said he never blocked my shot. And then he reminded me. I said, but Pat, a block shot is a block shot. I said, but you know, it was like, it was a desperation shot. It was three of y'all on me, you know, but it was, he said, but I still blocked. I said, yeah, you still blocked it, but okay, fine. But that's how the conversation ended. But no, you have fun times with the guys that you played against and the guys that you play with. And that's what it's all about, talking about those times, having fun with them, and enjoying the conversation when we, you know, when we was playing against each other, the rivalry, you know, people looking at us and wanting to see the rivalry. I mean, you know, in New York, it was like right now, I get goosebumps and I'm sweating now because that was the games to play, you know, and everybody was looking at us, play those games and how hard we played those games. So it was fun.
It was a lot of fun as a fan. I'm one of the few Heat fans that stuck around from the 80s until now. I didn't jump on with the LeBron train. What was the better fight in that rivalry? P.J. Brown and starting the melee down in Miami, or Alonzo Mourning and Larry Johnson swinging wildly? And I'm not sure that anybody connected other than Jeff Van Gundy.
I was about to say that.
To Zoe's leg. What was the better fight to be a part of?
The better fight to be a part of was P.J. Brown and the guard,
Charlie Ward.
That was the best one to me. I mean, because it was P.J. Brown picked him up and threw him. You know, he just picked him up like, I mean, like P.J. You know, we knew P.J. was strong, but he picked him up like he was a rag doll and just threw him over his shoulder. I asked P.J. I said, "What happened?" And he said, if you look at the tape, he tried to undercut me. Mm-hmm. And I looked at the tape. I was like, yeah. And Charlie Ward, we was talking about this off the air. Charlie Ward is one of the best people that you ever want to meet. He's very respectable, very quiet, but he's a good guy, a real true good guy, and he'd give you time of the day, any day of the week, and just talk to you. But at that particular time, he tried to undercut PJ, and PJ took exception to it, and they was winning. He didn't have to do that, and that's when the melee happened, and they was coming off the bench, and everybody was throwing each other off and moving people. So that's the way it was.
Best handles of all time.
Tim Hardaway.
Okay. I was gonna roll down Isaiah Thomas and Jamal Crawford and Kyrie Irving and Rod Strickland and best handles of all time.
There's an okay too.
No.
who was the favorite ankle breaking moment that you had?
I broke a lot of ankles, but I had a lot of fun doing, John Stockton.
Did you drop him on his butt?
No, I didn't drop him on his butt. I had.
Did you get his legs all tied up?
I had his legs tied up.
I was going to say his shorts were too short to fall over. So
I'm going to tell you a story, though. I was playing against Joe Dumars in an All-Star game. And I crossed Joe over, and he was like, he fouled me. He's like, no, you're not going to embarrass me on national TV. He said, no. He said, I let you shoot the jump shot, let you go to your left, but you're not going to cross me over and embarrass me. I said, Joe, he said, no, Tim, no. It's millions of people watching me. So, I say right now, Isaiah, I learned from Isaiah. In the city of Chicago, we learned how to dribble in a box. And the box was, the sidewalk, and then you had grass on the side of the sidewalk. So the grass was out. So it was like almost playing. You had two guys trying to take the ball away from you. So if they took the ball away from you, it's their turn to, go from side to side or from box to box. So you trying to steal it. And I used to dribble between three or four people, dribbling the basketball, getting to this box, and then coming back, getting to that box. So that's how I was able to enhance my dribbling skills and have them where they was at, when I was playing the game of basketball. Isaiah did the same thing. Jamal Crawford, he's exceptional with it. I tell you, a lot of people don't remember Mahmoud Raoul.
Raoul. Chris Jackson.
Mahmoud. So I just call him Chris Jackson because I can't say it on his own name. But Chris Jackson, he had a crossover too, and his was quick too. But he used to pull up with his crossovers and stop at a dime. I tell you today, Kyrie Irving and Kemba Walker.
Yeah.
Today,
AI got to be in that conversation too?
AI carried a lot,
carried a lot. It just got shady.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm an AI fan. Mm-hmm. I love watching AI. I love playing against AI. I love he brought a lot of charisma to the game. He brought a lot of flavor to the game, and he brought a lot of excitement to the game. And pound for pound, he was probably the best at playing this game, pound for pound. His crossover was carried. He had to set your man up and he carried. I just came down, boom, bam, and just went to the hole or did what I need to do. Just like Chris Jackson. His was like you didn't know it was coming. He just did it and he rose up. As you was trying to cut him off, he'd stop on a dime and just raise up and shoot it. But, I'm not taking nothing away from AI, but, it was a carry.
If he's listening right now, he is so salty, man. He is so salty.
Well, that's the thing with me. I'm not going to tell you on the radio, and when I see you, not tell you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I tell you the same thing. Mm-hmm. It was a carry.
No, we love you keeping it real, man. Trust me.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Tim, it's been awesome. We could sit and talk for hours.
Oh, no question.
And we definitely got to get you back up here again, get into basketball. So I got to ask you about Pat Riley because that whole Hassan Whiteside thing's got me perplexed, but that's just me.
Check the box. every day he's on the ESPN trade machine trying to trade Hassan Whiteside. Every day.
Well, he doesn't have the power to do that.
That I know. Because if I did, he'd be in Siberia.
Yeah. I'm quite sure they want him there too, but anyway. But you don't have the power there.
I do not. But we will definitely have to get Tim Hardaway Sr.
Tim, thank you so much.
This has been awesome.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.